Rings, Swords, and Monsters, Lecture 12. Children's Fantasy.
Children's fantasy has a rich tradition that goes all the way back to the Victorian period. But I don't want to focus on those texts in this lecture. I rather want to focus on texts that come from what's called the Golden Age of children's fantasy, which is, say, the 1950s through the 1970s, in particular the 1970s. So it's true that Alice in Wonderland, The Princess and the Goblin, Peter Pan, The Water Babies are all examples of children's fantasy. But they're very different than the children's fantasy that comes simultaneously with Tolkien and particularly post-Tolkienian. Really, until the 1950s or later, you could say that children's fantasy and fantasy weren't separate genres, and only The Lord of the Rings showed that you could have adult fantasies. Whether this division came up something spontaneous in the culture, or it's a market-driven division, it's not entirely easy to determine. I'd like to point out that the first section of T.H. White's The Once and Future King, The Sword and the Stone, was published in 1939, so right after The Hobbit, and quite a long time before The Lord of the Rings. But by the time you get to the end of The Once and Future King, which was published in these sections, when time you get to The Queen of Air and Darkness, it's a very, very adult book. We're going to look at T.H. White in much more detail in the next lecture on Arthurian literature. But I just wanted to point out that he begins as very clearly children's literature, children's fantasy, and evolves into fantasy at almost the same time that Tolkien is writing The Lord of the Rings and evolving The Lord of the Rings. But let's look at something that was published just before The Lord of the Rings came out, C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. Now, it's important to note that Lewis and Tolkien were very, very close friends. They met at Oxford in the late 1920s, and they stayed friends for a very long time. And they were part of this literary group that called themselves the Inklings. They met at the Eagle and Child pub and read each other's works or read other works that they liked. Tolkien read most of The Lord of the Rings to this group, and Lewis decided that he could write some fantasy works also and wrote The Chronicles of Narnia. In fact, even before this, Lewis wrote a space travel trilogy, and Tolkien was supposed to write a time travel book but never finished the time travel book, though it gave him the impetus to write about Numenor and so forth. Now, The Chronicles of Narnia has been popular for half a century. It's been wildly influential, printed millions of copies, and it's been turned into a major motion picture, and possibly there will be more motion pictures based on it. Narnia is fundamentally different from Tolkien's Middle-earth because it's like Stephen Donaldson's Land or Robert Holdstock's Mythago Wood and Lavandus in that there's a connection, a relationship between the primary world and the secondary world. However, unlike Holdstock and Donaldson, who do come much later, what happens in the primary world is not terribly important, except as it sets up what happens in Narnia.